Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Beautiful singing in the night. May I enjoy our special music. The Lord's really blessed us in our church. And it's a great blessing, and when people use their talents and their gifts for the Lord Jesus, and I appreciate that as your pastor. It really encourages me when you all do that. Choir, fantastic job. What a tremendous blessing. As Pastor Smith of Emmanuel Baptist Church, I'm sorry, brother, I couldn't let that go. I'm sorry. How you doing, John? No, I'm sorry, Brother Stephen. Sorry about that. That's I had to go there. That's just not even funny. All right. What we've been doing on Sunday nights, before I got sidetracked there and totally took the whole service into the ditch. Oh, my goodness. We, on Sunday nights, have been doing a series of messages geared around a book that I read. Last year, the title of the book was simply, I Am a Church Member. And in that book, it's a fantastic read of really what it means to be a member of a local New Testament church. It's a great joy and it's a great honor to be a member of a local church, is it not? And it's a blessing to be able to be part of something that indeed can outlast us. And that ought to be our prayer, that the Lord Jesus will indeed watch over Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. We talked about last week being a healthy church member and really leading my family to be healthy church members. We've talked about praying for our church and as a family, praying specifically that God would watch over our church and that the Lord will indeed have his hand upon it, because we know Satan isn't happy. Listen, Satan is not happy with Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. He hates it. And because he hates it, he's going to do everything in his power to destroy it. But thankfully, having Christ as our Savior and knowing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, he does not have to win. And I really think that when we look in these different portions of Scripture, some may be familiar to you. We've looked at them a lot. But however, we do never let a passage of Scripture become just kind of nonchalant, just become a scripture that we've read that 1,000 times, so therefore it really doesn't matter. No, it does matter, because this is indeed the Word of God, the living Word of God. It's all absolutely 100% inspired of the Lord. And with that said, tonight, the thought of our services and the thought of our sermon tonight, and really one of the character traits of what it means to be a good church member, number is this thought. Here's the title of the sermon right out of the book on that thought. It's just simply, I will be a unifying church member. I will be a unifying church member. By my presence at the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, there ought to be, my life ought to bring unity to this church body. May I remind you, on the authority of the Bible, that God indeed, as we're going to look at in a moment, it is God's desire that the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church be a church that has unity in it. When we think about the definition of unity, it's a simple definition. It just seems it's a state of oneness. A state of oneness, being one. And the Apostle Paul was all the time, throughout his letters that he wrote to the local assemblies during that first century of his life, first century in which he lived, he was writing to these churches, and many of these churches, we'll see in just a moment, they were churches that didn't have a lot of unity in them. In particular, the church at Corinth. So if you will, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, at the end of that book of I Am a Church Member, Dr. Rainer puts different pledges, if you will, of, as a church member, this is what I'm going to pray about. As a church member, this will be a desire of my life. And one of them is really what we're going with tonight. And here's the pledge that he says. He says, I am a church member. I will seek to be a source of unity in the church. I know that there are no perfect pastors, staff, or church members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. One of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. And I love that. I love that thought. And I love the aspect of that because, ladies and gentlemen, it's God's desire for us to be in unity. It's God's desire for us to be a church that has oneness in it. And when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you found your place in honor and reverence for the reading of God's word, please stand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, of course, the backdrop of this book of the Bible, this church wasn't in unity. This church had a lot of disharmony in it. This church had a lot of schism. The Bible used the word schism in the body. The word schism is like a bone out of joint. It's very painful. It literally, when a bone gets out of joint, the sad reality is it doesn't just affect that bone. It affects the entire body. And so Paul is writing with that backdrop behind of a church that's in disunity. And he says in chapter number 1, of course, he says in verse 1, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So we understand the recipients of this letter is a local assembly. It's a local church in the city of Corinth that is they assembled together. They're an assembly, a baptized body of believers. And here they are. So Paul is writing to this local assembly. And he goes on down through it. And he really, really brings an essence. Look at verse 4. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf. You know, what's interesting to me about that is this is a church that had a lot of problems, but yet it still was a church in Jesus. And Paul was thankful for that church. You know, there's a lot of tonight. There's a lot of churches that don't have unity in them. But may we as Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, the greatest thing we can do is pray for those churches. Amen? That God will have his hand and that the Lord Jesus will bring oneness to those churches. He says, for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So Paul says, hey, There's some genuine faith there. There's a foundation that you're in Christ. You've been born again. But look down in verse 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's very significant. He says, I beg you, brethren, Jesus Christ, by his name, look what he said, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That ye speak the same thing. Oneness, unity. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the privilege we have of being back in your house tonight. And Father, may we indeed be a church that has unity in it. God, in specific terms, may I, as a member of this body, and for the members that are here tonight, may we all individually seek, God, to be a member that brings unity, Lord, with our presence. So, Father, we pray now, use us, we ask, as only you can, in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. I will be a unifying church member. A state of being one, oneness. You know, the Bible gives us a lot when it comes to unity. The Bible says much of the subject matter of unity. So if you would like to take some notes, notice first of all, the desire for unity. The desire for unity. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, Paul says that you be of the same mind, that you have that unity in you. He says that to that church that was suffering from division. They were suffering from schism in the body. They were suffering from a lot of misunderstanding of things. You can continue reading, and I know we preach part of a series of sermons to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll eventually get back to that. But Paul wanted them to understand, listen, you're arguing about all kinds of stuff, but what it really boils down to, God desires that his churches have unity in them. You say, oh, preacher, yeah, but a church is made up of imperfect people. You're absolutely right, but hear my heart tonight. We know, here's what's amazing about God. What's amazing, there's so many things, but one of the things that's amazing about our Lord is God not only saved us, he loved us enough to place us in a local New Testament assembly.
And in that local New Testament assembly, the church, that local church, God desires that we be a positive influence in that church. God desires that we be a unifying presence there. May I say to you, on the authority of God's Bible, just as we said this morning when it comes to worship, it's not about us, it's about Christ. When it comes to the church membership, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. Amen? It's about Him. It's not about my personal preferences. It's not about, we'll get to that's another sermon. It's not about my wants. It's not about my desires. It's about what Jesus wants for my life. So God desires that we be a unifying presence in that body. He says, speak the same thing there in verse 10. He says, and that there be no divisions. Literally, look at that. That there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Under the desire for unity. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to the right in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we'll start there. And as we continue this desire for unity, it's absolutely God's will that a church have unity in it. Well, that's four of us that agree with that. It's God's will that a church have unity in it. Amen? It's absolutely God's will for that. And we are either contributing to the unity of it, or tragically, we may be contributing to the disunity of it. So with that said, look at Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, again, he's writing to this local assembly. It's in the city of Ephesus. It's a church. It's a local church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue with this. No, I tell you what, go back to chapter 1 for a minute. Look at chapter 1. I'll get to chapter 4 in a minute, but I don't want to skip these verses. I highlighted them for a reason. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. So Paul, you heard about them. But they indeed, they've got that foundation. They have that faith in Christ. Paul says you have faith in the Lord Jesus. And then notice something else that he says. And love unto all the saints. Look what he says in verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. How many of you would have loved to have your name on the Apostle Paul's prayer list? Amen. I would have loved that, wouldn't you? Paul said, I'm praying for you. He did that often to different people and different individuals and different assemblies, different churches. Paul, now here's a thought in regards of unity. When you became a Christian, God expects you and I to be part of His churches. But when you become part of His church, and specifically, stay with me, in the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, when you become part of His church, He wants you to be a unifying presence there. As a matter of fact, He demands it. He demands that you and I become a unifying presence here. Unity is vital to the health of a church. The Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus that he was thankful for this church. He was thankful for the membership. He was thankful for their faith in Christ. He was thankful for their love for all of the saints that they had. They had a genuine care and concern for other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The desire for unity. We saw it in the church at Corinth. We now see it in the church at Ephesus. We'll see it in a moment in the church at Philippi. All throughout the Word of God, all throughout these different scriptures, there's a desire for unity in the body, this oneness, this state of oneness, being one. You say, well, preacher, how is that possible? Listen, friend, it's only possible if the Holy Spirit of God is present. Amen? And here's what I know about the Holy Spirit of God. If I'm saved, I have Him. Amen? You say, but pastor, we're all different. Yeah, we are. We are different. But as Dr. Jerry Vines, I think it was him that made the statement, he said, God, what's amazing about God as far as the context of a local church, there indeed is unity through diversity. God takes people that are different. He takes us all that are different, and he makes us one as a body, a local assembly, one as a body. And how he does it is he brings unity into that body. And the reason he's able to bring unity into that body, and we speak the same things, we mind the same things, the reason that is possible and the only reason it is possible is because God's Holy Spirit is here. His Holy Spirit is an amazing, amazing contributor to the unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, forbearing one another in love. Man, that's a sermon in itself. And then notice what he says in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity, underline that word, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Literally, the perfect bond of unity. The Apostle Paul's desire, and mind you, hear me, stay with me on this. The Apostle Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. God himself was authoring these words. God himself is the author of your Bible. And Paul wrote it down. They're writing this down, and under the Spirit's inspiration, here's what it is. It's literally as God was saying, hey, Paul, you tell the church at Corinth, they need to have unity. Hey, Paul, you tell the church at Ephesus, they need to have unity in it. You tell the church at Philippi, Paul, that they need to have unity in it. John the Apostle, you tell the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor, that they need to have unity. They need to be of the same mind. They need to mind the same thing. They need to have oneness in that, in them. So Paul wanted, under God's inspiration, we have a responsibility as a church member. We are to be a source of unity. We are never to be a divisive force. We are to love fellow church members unconditionally. And while that doesn't mean you agree with everything all of the time, hear me. What does it mean, have you? Does it mean we agree with everything all of the time? No, it doesn't mean that. Anybody married in the building? There, okay. Does that mean you always agree with everything every time? You say, if you want a happy life. No, if you want to be a henpecked husband, brother. No, you're going to be the head of your home. It doesn't mean you always agree with everything all the time. But what it does mean is you won't allow yourself, because of disagreement, you won't allow yourself because perhaps maybe your preference didn't get given into, you will not become divisive in your marriages or perhaps even in the church. I'm not going to bring division to this church. God forbid, ladies and gentlemen, that we bring division to something that Jesus loves. Amen? God forbid that we get to a place in our lives that, you know what, maybe we get angered, or maybe we get something that we didn't like. And God forbid that we get to the place in our life that we begin to rip it apart. May I remind you, saying we love Jesus and hate his bride, or saying we love Jesus and hating the church and being mean-spirited against the church is like saying you love me, but you hate my wife. You know what? That won't go too well. Amen? You can say what you want about me, but and you guys don't do this. I'm just using it to illustrate a point. We can say often what we want as a man. We got broad shoulders and we can take it. But, buddy, the minute you start talking about a man's spouse, a man's wife, you may walk away with a bloody nose. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. It doesn't mean you agree with everything all the time or everyone all of the time. You know, we have differences. You know, that you may do something that I might not do, and I maybe do something you might not do. You may raise your children this way. I may raise my children this way. But, you know, it doesn't make It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means we're different and there's differences, but we do not become divisive. Amen? We do not. And that's why so many times we have to be careful in the context of this. It doesn't mean you agree with everyone all the time, but it does mean, here it is. Ready for this? It does mean you are willing to sacrifice your own preferences to keep unity in the church. Can I get a witness in the building? It means we are willing to sacrifice our own preferences to keep unity in the church. Again, back to the marriage. And by the way, the Bible uses the relationship of a husband and wife later in the book of Ephesians in comparison of a local New Testament church. It literally uses the relationship of the entire family to illustrate the relationship of Christ to his church. Now, having said that, in the context of marriage, your marriage will not last if there isn't some flexibility, if there isn't some give and take, if there isn't some, you know, God, fellas, I love you, but if you have the attitude of it's my way or the highway, you'll be living on the highway, right? You'll be, you say, Pastor, yeah, but I'm the boss of my, I'm the head of my home. Being a head of your home doesn't mean you're a dictator. Amen? It doesn't mean you're a dictator. It's loving leadership. That's what being a head of the home is. It's loving leadership and understanding that, yes, you're to be the head of your home, but may I also remind you, authority of Scripture, Jesus Christ is head over you. Right? So, and that's right out of the book of Ephesians. So the Apostle Paul wanted them to understand that they are to have unity. There is a desire for unity. It was Dr. Adrian Rogers in the context of unity. He said, we are to have unity because we have a common birth. I love this statement. Write this down, Michael. I love this. I found this today. I love this statement. Just stay with me. I'm going to give you some thoughts and I'll give you a statement to write down. We are a common birth. Think with me for a moment. I thought about this before I walked out here tonight. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Think about that for a minute. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That means there's relationship there. We have a common birth. Now here's the statement. I love this. Dr. Rogers says, we came from the same womb of grace. We've come from the same womb of grace. God in his grace and mercy has forgiven us of our sins. And because he's forgiven us of our sins, those that are born again, if you know Christ your Savior, you've been born again. You're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Now let me just say something as a father. And I know you would say it too as a father. Or even as a parent. As a dad, you can ask my children. We desire, as a matter of fact, we demand as parents that in our home, our kids get along. You say, preacher, it isn't always that way, is it? No, it's not always that way, but there's consequences when it isn't. Why? You say, why, preacher, why do you demand that your kids get along? Because they're brothers and sisters. They're brothers and sisters. There's a relationship there. They've come from the same womb. There's a relationship there. And I've said also to my children, I said, you know, the world beats up on us out there. You can ask my kids this. Years ago, I said this to them when they were a lot smaller. I said, in the church or in our family, the world beats up on us outside these walls. But when we come home and we come into this house, this needs to be a safe haven. This needs to be a place of refuge. This needs to be a place where we love each other and we support each other and we get along with each other. Why? Because it's needed. It's needed. Now, in the context of a church, we're family. If you know Christ your Savior, we're part of the same family. And then if you're part of Emmanuel Baptist, part of the same church, but in the family relationship. You say, oh, yeah, but preacher, we all have brothers and sisters we don't necessarily get along with all the time. That may be correct, but I promise you this. I have brothers and sisters. I don't get to see a whole lot. But you know one thing about my family, about my brothers and sisters? When we do see each other, we love each other. Matter of fact, we tell each other on the phone, when my little brother Jason, son Gavin, was rushed to the hospital with asthmatic attack and they put him in intensive care, man, it broke my heart. And I called him. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. I sent him a text. I called him, loved on him, said, hey, bud, I love you. I'm praying for Gavin, praying for you guys. You said, preacher, why do you do that, bragging on yourself? No, no, no. I did that because I genuinely cared about him. And I do care about him. In the context of a church, it's not about me getting my will and wishes all the time. It's a matter of, for the sake of unity in the body, I am willing to be flexible. I am willing to say, you know what? For the sole purpose that God desires unity in this church, I'll sacrifice. I'll give. I'll give a little. I'm not willing to die on every hill. Isn't it funny how when years ago, we used to die on every hill, but hopefully and prayerfully, God has matured us. God has grown us a little, and we're not willing to die on every hill. Dr. Rogers said, we have a common birth. We have a common body. 1 Corinthians 12, we talked about that. We've looked at those verses many, many times. In the context of our body, you know, every single aspect of my body is needed. My fingers are needed. My hands, my eyes, my ears, it's needed. Why? Because that's unity. That's functionality. That's unity. When people live together in unity, it is a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is upon them. When churches live together in unity, it is a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is upon them. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been a preacher for quite a while. 25 years, I believe. And having said that, I've been in churches where there wasn't unity. My wife and I visited a church one time down in Indiana. It was on a Wednesday night. Here we are, we're guests. We go into that church, and it was a pretty big church in the community. And in that church, after the service was over, they didn't dismiss the visitors. They went right into a business meeting. And I tell you what, in that business meeting, it was almost fistfights in that business meeting. You say, well, preacher, that's the time to have it. No, you hear me on the authority of God's Bible. Business meetings should still have unity in them. Business meetings should still have unity. That's not the time where we get our point across and we let people have it and we're mean-spirited about it. May we have the peace of God in our lives, and may we have the control of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives to keep unity. It's God's will to have unity in the body. And I, as a church member, will be a unifying. That should be the desire of my life, that I will be a unifying presence in that body. In Ephesians chapter 4. So that's the desire for unity. It's God's desire to have unity in that body. It's absolutely a desire of our Lord. The delight of unity. For time's sake, I won't. But Psalm 133, you can look at the delight of unity. There's a delight. There's a pleasantness. There's a pleasantness. There's something that is beautiful about unity in a church. You know, as a visitor, here me and my wife were, we'd gone into that church, and man, it got crazy, and people shouting matches and all of that, and made us nervous. You know, in the same token, in the context of a local church, there's a beauty about unity. And when there isn't unity, man, that there's a nervousness there. You ever been around where, you ever hear the phrase, man, just feel like I'm walking on eggshells around people? Why? Because there isn't unity there. Husbands and wives sometimes, even husbands say, man, I get around my spouse and I just feel like I'm walking on eggshells all the time. Why? Because there isn't unity there. But in the context of a local assembly, God desires for that church, this church, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, to have unity. What are some threats? Here's number three. Notice the dangers to unity. The dangers to unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, you should be in that passage. Look at verse 30. And I know, honestly, and I mean, as a pastor, being a Baptist pastor, I haven't heard a lot of preaching on grieving the Holy Spirit of God. But right in this passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us something about the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So Paul now is going to tell this church There's a desire for unity in the earlier verses of chapter 4. And then he's going to tell them about the dangers to unity. There's some dangers that can come into churches and take that church that has unity and bring disunity in it and bring disharmony in it, bring some bring things that are not pleasing to Christ. And Paul says, hear me, stay with me now. Paul says, when this happens, we're grieving God's Holy Spirit. Wow. I don't know about you, but I pray to God that we don't grieve him. I pray to God that as a church, and in specific terms, as a church member, that I do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul's going to tell us some ways we can. Verse number 31. Here's a way we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Several ways. Let all bitterness. What's bitterness? Bitterness is unforgiveness, or is a person who has been hurt, and it's right out of Hebrews, a person that has been hurt, but because they're maybe pride or because of just anger, they're not willing to forgive. And here's what happens to that. When we choose not to forgive, bitterness takes hold. When bitterness takes hold, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves him. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand what happened to me. You don't understand. And I've said, listen, over the years, 20 plus years as a pastor, or 60 years as a pastor, whatever number that is. Well, Brother Smith's been a long time. But anyway, sorry, that's another sermon. But as a pastor over the years, I met good Christian people that love Christ. But man, an injury has happened in their life, and they're like, preacher, I can't forgive. Well, understand something. Right out of this passage, Paul is going to talk about things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness grieves him. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Well, we could preach an hour and a half on that. We won't, but evil speaking. You know what happens to people? What happens to church members is maybe our preferences got overlooked, or maybe, you know, things like that. And if we're not careful, we can speak evil of the church. We can speak evil of it. And Paul says when we do that, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves him. And we as a church member should be a unifying presence there. And look what Paul says about it. He says, let all, and he gives a list, be put away from you with all malice. And then notice verse 32. Here's the opposite. Here's the absolute polar opposites of bitterness and malice and anger and wrath and evil speaking. Here's the other side of the coin, the grace coin. Look what he says in verse 32. And be kind one to another. Wow. Amen. How am I unifying presence there? You ready for this? Very simple. Be kind to people. You know, our kids, when they were littler, we honestly, my wife, great at it. Please, thank you, right? You teach them, please, thank you, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You say, I preach, that's old-fashioned. Would to God this culture got some old-fashionedness back in it. Me and my wife was talking about, we're living in a culture where people have, literally, they've abandoned them, any manners that they ever had. Whatever happened to just simply, seriously, just being kind to people? Here's a thought for you. What did Jesus say? Love your neighbor as who? Yourself. Wow, what a concept. Love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say to husbands in Ephesians? Love your wife as yourself. No man hates himself. Why? He nourishes himself. And Paul says, just do the same way with your wife. Love her like you love yourself. Because really, in essence, you're to be one, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Kindness. Wow. Be kind. I don't know who originally said it, but somebody said we may better make our words sweet because we may have to eat them someday. Right? Be kind to people. You say, yeah, but preacher, that person did this, that person did that. Okay, keep that thought for a minute. Keep that thought. Here's another one, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. You're to have a tender heart. And if we don't have tender hearts to the things of God, and in the context of this, we don't have a tender heart to the church members, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves Him. You say, yeah, but preacher, I just say what comes to my mind. Well, there's a problem with that. Let me tell you the problem with it. Here's the problem with just getting to a point in our life that we just, whatever comes across our mind, we just say it and we don't really care. We just let it out there. Here's the problem with that. That's how lost people are. And last I checked, if you're born again, you're not a lost person. You have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. He's to be a restraining force in my life. And as a believer in Jesus, who should be under the lordship of Jesus Christ and should be under the guiding principles of the Holy Spirit, I shouldn't be a person that just reacts when people make me mad. I should be a person that's under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when people hurt me or people are mean to me, I don't retaliate. That's the way the world does. Can I get a witness in this building? That's the way the world does. That's the way the world responds. But we're not of the world. We've been changed. And Jesus Christ is in us. You say, yeah, preacher, it's easier said than done. Listen, friend, that's why it's important as God's people to stay under His lordship. That's why it's important as God's people to be men and women of prayer and seeking God's will and seeking God's direction in our life. And may from this day forward, before the next time we want to spout out our mouth and say something mean and hurtful to people, would to God maybe a thought come across our mind. Lord Jesus, they just hurt me. God, they just made me mad. Lord Jesus, you can be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with having anger, but just don't sin, okay? Be angry and sin not. But maybe we would think something like this. Lord Jesus, that hurt me. God, they offended me. But Father, please, Lord, give me the grace to be a unifying presence in my church. God, give me the grace to love them like you do. Now, so let's continue on. So verse 31, we see the dangers to unity. Look at verse 32. This is amazing. Tremendous verse of scripture. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Look at this. Forgiving one another. And did you notice, though, the verse doesn't stop there. Right? Look at the verse. And by the way, forgiveness isn't natural. When people hurt us, it's natural to want to hurt them back. Right? Talk to me. It's natural. People hurt somebody you care about. It's natural to want to hurt them. But look what he says. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let me ask you a personal question. How much did God have to forgive you of? How much did God have to forgive me? Let me ask you this. In the quietness of your heart, what did God have to forgive you of? Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't want what God forgave me of to be on that screen. I wouldn't want what God had to forgive me of to be out in the open for everybody to see. So Paul says, in the inspiration of God, as if God himself was speaking, be a unifying presence there. But Lord Jesus, they hurt me. Lord Jesus, they were mean to me. They weren't kind. Lord Jesus, they just walk eggshells around them, Lord. And God says, son or daughter, remember how much I forgave you. The next time you that are born again, the next time you look in the mirror, may you be reminded that you are a forgiven child of Almighty God. I will seek to be a unifying presence
and my church family. I will seek to have my family be positive and encouragers and be a good church member, understand what it means. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When people live together in unity, in the context of a local New Testament church, it is a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is upon them. I've had many times people come and say, Brother Tracy, visited your church the other night. And they always say that, visited your church. It's Lord's, we understand that. Brother Tracy, I'll be honest with you. My wife asked Siri to marry her the other day. But I've had people say, Brother Tracy, I visited your church, and to be honest, man, that's a sweet place. Brother Tracy, I visited your church the other day, and man, it was just, they were so kind, they were so loving. You know why that is? Because there's a lot of people in this room understand that even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. I don't have the right to be unkind. I don't have the right to be mean-spirited. I don't have the right to just say the first thing that comes across my mind, and I don't care who it hurts. And I'll be honest with you. If we say that we're a believer in Jesus Christ, and we can treat people for whom Jesus died mean, I question salvation. I genuinely question salvation. Because where the Holy Spirit of God is, she's hungry. The Holy Spirit of God is, there's unity. There needs to be unity. So what did the pledge, what is the thoughts? And let me read again, we'll give an invitation. I am a church member. I will seek to be a source of unity in that church, in the church. I know there are no perfect pastors, staff, or other church members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. One of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, for those yet unreached. We are here to make a difference for our Lord and for His kingdom. And may we as church members be sources of unity. May we be sources of unity. Now, if you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you've never been born again, I encourage you right now to repent of your sin. Trust Christ, believing the gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And by faith, asking God to forgive you. And by faith, believing on Christ and Christ alone and what He did. Ask Him to forgive you. He'll save you if you'll do that. Become part of the local New Testament church through baptism after you get saved. Become part of the local New Testament church where you can serve God and you can grow in your relationship with Christ. And you can, in turn, be a unifying presence there. And in turn, you can be a functioning church member there. And in turn, you can teach your family and raise your family to be good church members, to fall in love with the church. It's God's will that we do that.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.